You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
A study published in the United States this week found that babies conceived in the spring and summer are more likely to be born with a range of birth defects. The study's authors live in the U.S. Corn Belt, and they link their findings to an increased level of agrochemicals in surface water over the summer months. This is just one small piece of mounting evidence of the effects of chemicals on human health. The Canadian Cancer Society is campaigning for a ban on the cosmetic use of pesticides. They'd like to see BC become the third province to bring in a ban, following the lead of Ontario and Quebec. Stacey Berisavitz is Community Action Coordinator with the Cancer Society, and she joins me this morning from her home. Hello, Stacey.
Hi, Jane.
So what kinds of pesticides are we talking about here?
Well, pesticides is actually an umbrella term, so that includes herbicides, insecticides, rodenticides, and fungicides. And what pesticides in general do is they kill weeds, bugs, fungus, and other unwanted living things.
So they make your lawn look nice?
Essentially, yes. Yeah, they bring out that perfect-looking lawn and garden. And the term, just to define it, the cosmetic use or non-essential use, which a lot of people can often be confused about when they hear those terms, that means that when the pesticides are used to enhance the appearance of lawns and garden, and they actually have absolutely no benefit to human or environmental health.
Now, what kind of spaces are covered by this in the provinces that actually have bans now?
Well, if there are cosmetic pesticide bylaws in place, that would mean that there's restrictions on using the products on public and private lawns and gardens. So that would include your own lawn and garden and any public spaces. So, for example, that, you know, the cities would own, just really anything that's public cannot have the product sprayed on it. So that's parks and playgrounds, schools, which are places really you don't want that product being used.
How is it possible to implement a ban like this? I mean, how can you control what people do on their own private land?
Well, there's a couple things, and I think most important to emphasize that your listeners will really want to know is that we are calling on all political parties to make a commitment to eliminate the use of pesticides. So that means a province-wide ban on the use of the product on public and private lands, as well as the sale. So that touches on two points. Now, if there's legislation that bans the use of the product and there's an education component in place, people will know, okay, this isn't tolerated anymore. And if the province takes that second step and bans the sale of the products in stores, that eliminates the opportunity for people to go to those stores and buy the product and use it on their property.
Now, you're also calling for product labeling. This presumably would be on products that haven't been banned. What kinds of products are you thinking about when you're calling for product labeling?
For product labeling, those would be commonly used household products. So that would be anywhere from cleaning products, personal products that you would use, you know, body creams, soaps, cosmetics, all of those things that are just commonly used household products every day. And, you know, we actually have a statistic. We did some public opinion polling in 2008, and 99% of British Columbians are in support of product labeling. So it's not a small number.
No, that's a very impressive percentage, actually.
It is, actually, yeah.
Now, just to go back to something I think we touched on earlier, this is not a total ban on all, you know, so for example, if I have mice, then would anything that killed the mice, would that be banned?
Well, that's an interesting point. So what the bylaws cover or the legislation would cover is if there's any threat to human, animal, or structural health, so you touched on it, then, of course, a product can be used. And, you know, each municipality currently right now that we're working with, and there's 18 actually in BC that have cosmetic pesticide bylaws, there's different clauses or permits that are available in their bylaws. So let's say, for example, a bylaw that I worked on, which is the District of North Vancouver. So if you have a pest that is invading your home or part of the structural, you know, property of your house, you would simply contact the District of North Vancouver, you know, let them know what the issue is, and then you would take the next step with applying for a permit and an actual company that is accredited to treat the pest or you know, get rid of the pest, so to say, would come in and manage that problem for you. Or if it is something as simple as, you know, if there's a certain, you know, I'm not even good with the pest level, but there's a certain pest that's bothering an animal or something, then you can, you know, apply and use the product yourself. But, you know, you do have to make the case for it.
Now, in my introduction, I mentioned the study published this week linking chemicals in the groundwater and birth defects. What kind of evidence are you basing your campaign on?
Well, there's quite a few. You know, the evidence is suggestive. It's growing. It links pesticide exposure with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, childhood leukemia, brain cancer, kidney cancer, pancreatic cancer, prostate cancer, and some lung cancers. You know, we have research from the Ontario College of Family Physicians. We have U.S. National Toxicology Program, the Journal of Veterinary Medical Association when we're talking about animals, the National Cancer Institute of Canada. There's quite a few, quite a few. And, you know, as you saw by this newspaper article, I can tell you that I get emails every day from listservs that I'm on about this issue with more and more research that's emerging on this very issue.
Now, the cosmetic use of pesticide, I'm guessing, pales in comparison to the use of chemicals in agriculture and agribusiness. Why are you focusing on this aspect?
Well, this aspect, again, with the cosmetic use, because it has absolutely no health benefit, it has the potential to cause harm to the public and the environment, and the products can contain cancer-causing substances. Why are we using them? You know, we need to actually change the way we think about our lawns and gardens.
Okay, and are you thinking about in the future maybe moving on to a campaign to encourage people to move more towards organic when they buy vegetables?
Well, right now we're working on the cosmetic issue on lawns and gardens, and we really want to have that passed provincially. You know, I can tell you that we did have a conference in November on the issue of pesticides, both cosmetic and non-cosmetic use, and we are in the process right now waiting for that peer-reviewed research to be reviewed. So, you know, again, our focus really is on the lawns and gardens, and we want to see this provincial-wide legislation go through, hopefully by May 12th.
Okay, and then there have been a number of municipalities who've enacted bylaws. How are you hoping to move it to the provincial level? I mean, you mentioned the election date.
Right. So currently in British Columbia, there are 18. And something that we're doing right now, we have a great website. It's actually a microsite. It's cancer.ca/BC/vote. And what we're doing is trying to educate and assist British Columbians with speaking out about this issue. So, you know, the more we can talk about it, the more we can be in communities forming coalitions, having people write letters, encouraging them to contact their MLA in the riding that they live in and say, you know, this is important to me. Why are we still using these products? So that's just one of the ways that we're doing it.
What kind of response have you had from government so far?
From government so far, I would say, you know, they're not surprised about this issue. It's not just our organization that's speaking out about it. We have some major partners that are on our side, the David Suzuki Foundation, Canadian Association for Physicians for the Environment, Toxic Free Canada, Inspire Health, the Lung Association, Interior Health, Public Association of BC, plus all the hundreds of citizens we have engaged with the issue that across the province. So they're not just hearing it from us, and they're hearing the message over and over. So I think that they're, you know, they're really listening, and again, they want to hear from the public. So what we always try to emphasize is for citizens to get involved and really speak out to their politicians that are making these decisions, and that can really change this legislation and make it positive for everybody.
Stacey, I'm going to give people that website again, but I want to thank you for talking to us about it and introducing us to the topic.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Stacey Berisavitz. She's Community Action Coordinator with the Canadian Cancer Society. The website she mentioned is cancer.ca/BC/vote. You can find a link to that website from our website, which is cooperadio.org/redeye.